By the time I had done this, Doodle had excused himself and had slipped out into the yard. He was looking up into the bleeding tree. "It's a great big red bird," he called. The bird croaked loudly again, and Mama and Daddy came out into the yard. We shaded our eyes with our hands against the hazy glare of the sun and peered up through the still leaves. On the topmost branch, a bird the size of a chicken with scarlet feathers and long legs was perched precariously. Its wings hung down loosely, and as we watched, a feather dropped away and floated slowly down through the green leaves. "It's not even frightened of us," Mama said.
"It looks tired," Daddy added, "or maybe sick."
Doodle's hands were clasped at his throat, and I had never seen him stand still so long.
"What is it?" he asked.
Daddy shook his head. "I don't know. Maybe it's..." At that moment, the bird began to flutter, but the wings were uncoordinated, and amid much flapping and a spray of flying feathers, it tumbled down, bumping through the limbs of the bleeding tree and landing at our feet with a thud. Its long, graceful neck jerked twice into an S, then straightened out, and the bird was still. A white veil came over the eyes, and the long white beak unhinged. Its legs were crossed, and its claw-like feet were delicately curved at rest. Even death did not mar its grace, for it lay on the earth like a broken vase of red flowers, and we stood around it, awed by its exotic beauty. "It's dead," Mama said.
"What is it?"
Doodle repeated.
"Go bring me the bird book," said Daddy. I ran into the house and brought back the bird book.
As we watched, Daddy thumbed through its pages.
"It's a scarlet ibis," he said, pointing to a picture. "It lives in the tropics, South America to Florida. A storm must have brought it here."
Sadly, we all looked back at the bird. A scarlet ibis. How many miles it had traveled to die like this in our yard beneath the bleeding tree. "Let's finish lunch," Mama said, nudging us back toward the dining room.
"I'm not hungry,"
said Doodle, and he knelt down beside the ibis.
"We've got peach cobbler for dessert,"
Mama tempted from the doorway. Doodle remained kneeling.
"I'm going to bury him."
"Don't you dare touch him," Mama warned. "There's no telling what disease he might have had."
"All right," said Doodle. "I won't."
Daddy, Mama, and I went back to the dining room table, but we watched Doodle through the open door. He took out a piece of string from his pocket and, without touching the ibis, looped one end around its neck. Slowly, while singing softly, "Shall We Gather at the River," he carried the bird around to the front yard and dug a hole in the flower garden next to the petunia bed. Now we were watching him through the front window, but he didn't know it. His awkwardness at digging the hole with a shovel whose handle was twice as long as he was made us laugh, and we covered our mouths with our hands so he wouldn't hear. When Doodle came into the dining room, he found us seriously eating our cobbler. He was pale and lingered just inside the screen door.
"Did you get the scarlet ibis buried?" asked Daddy.
Doodle didn't speak, but nodded his head.
"Go wash your hands, and then you can have some peach cobbler," said Mama. "I'm not hungry," he said.
"Dead birds is bad luck,"
said Aunt Nicey, poking her head from the kitchen door. "Specially red dead birds." As soon as I had finished eating, Doodle and I hurried off to Horsehead Landing. Time was short, and Doodle still had a long way to go if he was going to keep up with the other boys when he started school. The sun, gilded with the yellow cast of autumn, still burned fiercely, but the dark green woods through which we passed were shady and cool.
When we reached the landing, Doodle said he was too tired to swim, so we got into a skiff and floated down the creek with the tide. Far off in the marsh, a rail was scolding, and over on the beach, locusts were singing in the myrtle trees. Doodle did not speak and kept his head turned away, letting one hand trail limply in the water.